is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
This is only a test.
DJs and MCs.
Listen to the disc jockey's introduction to
two DJs and a mic with your host, DJ Mike.
Is that a timetable?
And DJ JP.
Well, get on it. It's your turn.
Give me the mic.
Scene. Welcome to another edition of Two DJs and One Mic with the infamous DJ JP and the modest DJ Mike. Well, we're honored today to, you know, sit down with one of Vegas' own, the great Matthew Campbell. How you doing, sir?
Hey, it is so awesome to be on here tonight. I really appreciate you guys having me on. Big fan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it. It was an honor for me getting to meet you in Vegas. I enjoyed the conversation we had at breakfast. So it's always an honor to meet people in the industry that's doing great things. Go ahead, Jeff. It seemed like you got something you want to say.
You're modest.
Is that what you're holding on to?
Really?
You're the infamous.
You do all the introductions and everything, and you're modest.
Moving right along, Matt.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All good.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Yeah, he's the modest one. Yeah. How's everybody doing? How y'all doing? DJ Free, KG, everybody out there, how y'all doing? Welcome into the show. Keith, how you doing? Man, wow. We're great. We're honored to have Matt on tonight to talk about what he has going on. And let's jump into it, brother. Let's go.
Oh, let's go. I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right.
So this is a question that I would like to ask. I know some of the things that you're doing, but when did you start DJing and why?
Oh, so in back in high school, my friend owned
1990,
1995. Yeah,
89, 88. Okay. You gotta check.
Yep. I'm probably going back too far, but one of my friends owned a radio station, and we had MDA 24-hour dances, and they would help DJ, and I'm like, this is awesome. I need to try to do this, and went to college, graduated high school in 1990, so that doesn't age me at all. I'm not giving my real age. And then in 1990, went to college. I'm like, man, I need to do this. So I got hired by somebody else, did that for 3 years, and then in 93, started my own company. And then I did that from 93 to 2000.
Wow. Congrats on that.
So where were you living at then, man?
All in Montana. So one of my funny stories is I used to DJ a prom, and I lived in a small town, Missoula, but my parents lived in Butte. My dad would go with me to this because it would take 14 hours to drive there, and we would still be in Montana.
What?
Yep.
Is Montana that big?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's, I think, the third largest behind Texas and Alaska.
Wow. I didn't know it was that big.
14 hours. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. So were you almost out of the state then?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We were near the
please tell me this prom for years of DJ equipment.
Well, we had one of the largest light. I had one of the largest light shows in Montana back then too. So, had a little Nissan truck with a topper on it, and it's amazing what you can fit in there. That's when it's stacked. Yeah.
So you would go do that prom every year. So yeah. What happened after 2000? What did you do after you left Montana?
I met my wife online. It's moved to Vegas in 2000. And everybody laughs about that. She's actually in the medical field. She's not a dancer online? For those who...
What site was it?
It was called a Yahoo chat room. If you guys remember, that was almost before Match. I think Match started somewhere around that time too, but I'd never used anything like that. So I moved to Vegas, still love music. Never, you know, looking back, probably one of my regrets is I never worked for anybody else. I had a business degree, so I became a purchasing manager of electronic components. 2003, decided to start a website. It was everything. It was kind of like a competitor to the Knot. You could build your own wedding websites, planning ideas and whatnot. Started that in 2003, called Wedding Museum, which is a terrible name. In 2017, before that, realized because of my DJ background, most of our traffic was going to our playlists that were on the site. So totally rebranded in 2017 to My Wedding Songs, and that's who we are today.
My Wedding Song.
Okay.
So does your wife help out with it? Because I've seen her at shows and different things. Or is she just there for moral support?
Yep, she's there at shows helping because, you know, even like DJX, there's, you know, thousands of DJs there. There's no way one person can do it. So she comes and helps. About
2,000, sir.
Yep.
So. And not the attendees are not as many as the people that's going to hit the showroom floor. There was so many people I never saw in a class, but I saw them all on the showroom floor at DJX last year. Very different conference. A lot of people go for the showroom and not for the education.
Well, even Casey Show, because I know he's hopped on here, you know, even at Marquee, one person, when those doors open, it's overwhelming. It's too much for one person.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We know. Because the booth almost got overran at Max. You know, we had people trying to get on, standing in front of us at the cameras. We trying to do a show. They trying to talk to us. Hey, we're live here. But hopefully, I'm going to reach out to them today, tomorrow. The guys from Silent Sound, the headphones guys. I'm going to reach out to them about providing us with a setup. So if somebody want to listen to us interview somebody, we'll be able to do it with the Silent Disco headphones.
Oh, that's an awesome idea. Okay. Yeah, all of the talks this year at Wedding MBA was all on the headphones, which is phenomenal because years before it was so loud that if you're in that area,
you're right. Because there was a couple people spoke in those little rooms I wanted to hear. I just gave up because I'm like, I can't hear that. It's not even worth it. But I did get to go to a couple this year with the headphones, and it was pretty good.
Yep. Great idea.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving right along.
Sure.
What would be considered a perfect wedding playlist and why?
Ooh, yeah, I didn't even get prepped on questions, just for those who are listening.
We don't do that. We come
and it's off the cuff. This is real stuff here, people.
Yes,
this is,
and we go do our homework.
So the perfect wedding playlist is one that makes the couple happy and the guests happy. Okay. That would be my answer. Because in the end, you know, studies have been shown that guests remember two things, how good the food was and if they had a good time. So, you know, I was talking to a DJ a little bit ago that was saying, if you get one relative or one friend who has a terrible time, that could turn into one bad review, even though the night was phenomenal. So it's just about keeping everybody happy and playing the right music.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That is a great point because that, wow. And that could be a really bad review just because you didn't play that song for Aunt Johnny.
But that's tough when, say, like if you have a bride or somebody that says, okay, don't play anything else but what I tell you to play. How can you fix that?
Just have that conversation with the bride that says, hey, you know, just so you know, if I don't play this music and nobody's dancing, what do you want me to do? So that way you can't come back on me. And the same thing, because it's tough. You guys know it's tough as a DJ. If somebody's requesting something that's on the bride's do not playlist, they're requesting WAP and the bride saying, absolutely not. Boy, that's a tough conversation. Well, to
the
have.
DJ is saying absolutely not too. So
yeah,
that song just
it depends on the DJ.
Yeah,
it may be a whopper.
I know who
it may be a whopper.
Yeah, tough. I mean, you're right, man. It's tough though, but. Yeah. You try your best to make everybody happy. So let's find a meeting. Because I had a bride this weekend. Absolutely no slides. I don't want any of those line dances. So five drinks in and her, you know, in her tennis shoes. Play a Cupid Shuffle so everybody get on the floor. Or somebody, she sent somebody up there. So we played it. And who was in the front of the pack? The bride. But I mean, I listened to what she said. And I wasn't going to play it. And I had them out of my playlist. And I wasn't going to play them at all.
Yep. Yeah, I have a bad story where that school dance I drove 14 hours for the last time that I did it, the kids were requesting two live crew. And I'm like, I guess this is a small town. You were talking prom was 30 kids because it's a really small town.
Were you playing vinyl then?
No. I was playing CD.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So what was they asking for me so horny?
Anything by Two Live Crew. And then I'm just going to up to the chaperones saying, hey, is this okay? Oh yeah, it's okay. So you know, yeah, I play it. it probably was because that's the one song I always think of. And I never got asked to play again.
They were tired of you.
We're talking maybe 1995, and we're talking three schools, total of 30 people, probably 40 people in the room with the chaperones. I mean, it was a different time then.
And you know what's bad about that, Matt? Is when it's that small, anything that you do that's wrong is magnified.
Yes.
You know, when you're dealing with sometimes, say, 500 or 600 kids, you know, and they're all having a good time, that can kind of get hit, you know, pushed to the side. But when it's that small, it's really magnified.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Me so horny.
Yeah.
Oh, me so horny.
Love you every
time. This is a bad direction. You know, even in the small town, it could be the principal's daughter was there for all I know, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So we were looking at the website.
Yep.
And we saw the list of 100.
Yep.
How did you come up with that? You know, is that a solid 100 or is that from your home?
And before you ask, I want to ask you a question. Is that like ceremony and everything in a wedding? Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to ask. Okay. All right.
Yep. So my answer to that is my thing is I don't want a playlist every single year that's the exact same songs. So I want to inject some of the newer songs. An example might be a Tyler Childress or just somebody that's new, that's popular, that I can, if they're not so popular next year, I can throw them off. But then at the same time, I don't have Unchained Melody in there that we've been playing to death for the last, you know, since the 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just trying to find a medium between them. You know, we all know the 90s, 2000, 2010s are popular. So I want to make sure I'm getting some of that music on there. The pop punk. I want to make sure that like Sugar Going Down, that one's on there, even though that might not be on everybody's playlist. That music's popular right now. So to answer your question,
who was that?
Sugar, We're Going Down. I know you're gonna put me on the spot.
I'm putting myself on the spot. No, you good. Go ahead, keep going.
Sugar, we're going down. Fall Out Boy. Whew, thank God I got that
okay,
right.
Okay, all right. I was gonna say because I sure won't know. You heard that one? You heard that one? Whatever.
Let's say Mr. Brightside, but that's overplayed.
Yeah.
So
yeah, trying to pick up. Even the band, I did my last wedding on Sunday was with a band. And what was the closing song? I'm Mr. Brightside. Yeah. I said, even the bands are playing Mr. Brightside. But I love that song now.
So how many hours do you put in looking and putting together these lists?
So every Friday, 6 to 8 hours, new music. There's places that I go. And then I'm trying to do less updating, so that way there's only certain lists that I'm updating. So let's say a new father-daughter dance song comes out. I'm not going to add it that Friday. I'm going to add that maybe once every 4 months or whatever. There's too much work.
It's work, or is it just too much? Well, yeah, researching and all of that. So, yeah, I've checked the list sometime and hit some real good gems. I can't remember one off the top of my head, but it was one song that came out. I was like, man, this is great. I'm glad I checked this list. And I think I used it for a wedding, and I've been playing it ever since that day I checked it. It was something country. And whenever I find a gem on one of your lists, I always share it in DJ Crosstalk with everybody in the group, too. So, and cool. We posted up that you were going to be on the show tonight. So,
go ahead. Cool, thanks. Matt, thank you.
Matt, thank you for what?
The list.
The list. Well, I'm a paying customer, so I don't need to say thank you. I'm a subscriber.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, there's some good lists coming up. Not tomorrow. So it comes out every Wednesday. Not tomorrow, but starting next Wednesday, it's going to be because, like I just said, the 90s, 2000, 2010s is going to be all lists about that for the next quite a few weeks.
Okay.
So the first one's going to be 90s hip hop.
All right. Okay. Cool.
That's awesome.
And did you get anyone else's input or run the list by anybody before you posted, or is it just all Matt Campbell?
Sometimes, like the I posted lists of, like, instead of playing this, play that. So I reached out to a friend of mine, Greg Holman from Ambient DJs. Uh-huh. And he helped. I said, hey, what do you think about these? And I think one of the songs was Cupid Shuffle. And I'm like, gosh, what do I want to play instead of that? That's not as popular. He's like, oh, play Jerusalem. Jerusalemma. Okay, cool. I'll play that. I'll put that on there. So typically, no, but he's helped me out with a couple of those lists. And then it's funny, actually, have somebody helping with the 90s hip hop.
Okay.
All right. So do you have any of your clients requesting lists, like for corporate events, school events, things of that nature,
they have not. I've tried to stay in the niche of weddings. We've thought about it, but just right now, just staying in our lane.
Mm. Okay.
Yep.
Moving right along,
Jeffrey.
What drove you to write your first book? Or was that your first book? Or did you write one before that?
This is great. I gotta pull this out.
He's got props. Where's our guest? He ran away.
So, you know, when I was DJing in the 90s, the name of my company was DJ Express.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote this is just a pamphlet. And it just has song lists exactly how I started. And so these are just song suggestions for my clients. So that way, once they book me, I send them that pamphlet. That was before everybody was on the internet. Mm. And I said, hey, that's how it all started. And then, you know, with the website, I'm like, hey, maybe people are, you know, into it more, and let's put it into a book. So then I created the Wedding Songs Planner, more for DJs and for wedding planners, just because there's 60 playlists. It's like, I just picture that overwhelming couples. But if you're, you know, it goes from the 40s to the, you know, to today's music or last year's music. That's when I wrote it. And then I thought, hey, why don't I write a planner so that way it'll guide the couples through it. So it has a ceremony guide and a reception guide. So that's when I wrote the
One over there, the pink one is the newest one.
Yep, the pink one's the newest one.
Okay. Yeah. And that's more for couples, and the other one is the blue is more for DJs, right?
Okay. I think so, because there's 60 playlists in the planner, where the other one's just smaller, suggest like 54 suggestions.
Have you updated your book lately, or are you just gonna leave, or do you update it every year because we add new playlists?
That is a great question. So it is not gonna be updated this year. It takes about 6 weeks to do it.
Well, we had some good questions, I guess. Everybody always. Yeah.
So you're going to do every 2 years, every 3 years?
I'm thinking. So it's interesting. I did the wedding MBA. And the wedding music toolkit, a wedding planner came over to them to my booth and said, I cannot use this because I do a lot of same-sex marriages. Because, and I'm like, okay. So actually, I'm rewriting the toolkit to be an inclusive wedding music toolkit.
So, yeah, even what I was sent out an email to a planner who I was doing a same-sex marriage for. And she was like, this is not good. So we had to go in and change everything to partner or whatever. Matter of fact, I was going through your stuff and I saw you got some things on there with partner, bride, you know, things like that. I don't think it's being insensitive, but it's just what we've always called it. So,
yeah.
But hey, today you got to update it because they're looking and if it, they might find it offensive. So, yeah.
I actually have a guest suggestion for you. Well, no, I don't because she's going to be on my podcast. But there's
an audience, sir. So you know.
But go,
go ahead.
It is so Mary Nisi owns Toast and Jam in Chicago area.
Man, we've already talked.
Okay, cool. Okay, good.
We're about a year and a half ago.
Well, she for those of you who haven't gone back to listen to that great episode of yours. I'll just tell you that she totally revamped her whole website and removed Bride and Groom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, her whole staff is very interesting because if you go look at her DJs, everybody is him, her, they, them, whatever they are. And it's very interesting how she does everything. I love Mary as far as her, and, her website, you know, totally different. Her playlist is somewhere on another planet and they don't, they tell you up front what they don't do. And then if you don't want them, you want them to do it. But you want them to do it their way, we're not doing it. Yeah. So I love Mary for that. She's going to be a great interview, too. She's really cool.
Yeah, we really enjoyed talking with her. She was really cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, I was just saying, I think it's something just for DJs. You know, she's always said, I've removed all that from my website, and we're a thriving business, so... Take it for what it's worth.
I heard her speak first at Mobile Beat probably in 16 or 17. And she was already cut edge. I loved her website, Toast and Jam.
Yeah.
Just her concept. And, you know, it's a piece of toast with a knife and some jelly being sprayed on the front of the website. So she's just really out the box and don't care. I'm different and I'm out the box and either you like me or you don't, but this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be. So Mary's going to be a good interview. You know, dive into her. Get you some good questions out of there.
Cool. Yeah. And I would say that for any DJ, too, that try to, you know, be yourself and make their clients happy and who cares what everybody else thinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So segueing into.
Yep.
So what, excuse me. So how did you get into podcasting?
So in January of 2020, I had the brilliant idea of quitting my job and going full time on my business. Yeah, that was really good looking back because then COVID hit. But anyway, so one of the things that I did is I had this website and I'm like, let me get into other things instead of trying to build traffic. And so really just, you know, I have a really standard mic. I have a 4K camera on Amazon and a light and that's it. So I'm like, if I can do a podcast with that stuff and the hosting, let me try it and give it a go. And so I did it all by myself, just giving song suggestions. And I'll be honest, gosh darn, they were boring. Because I'm just running through the list because you know and I know legally we cannot play music. So I'm giving song suggestions, and if I can't play the songs, that's terrible. So I think people just really didn't listen to that. So once I quit for 9 months, I think, let's say January of this last year. And then September of last year, I said, hey, let me just start interviewing people. And that's when things really started taking off.
Interesting, because
are you thinking the same thing I'm thinking?
Yes, yes. Yeah, when we started, you know, it was almost in the, you know, the same
time frame.
Same time frame. And I had the podcast was from a DJ's perspective.
Stolen.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Modest one. Go ahead.
Someone is fell off their rocker. But anyway, but I started from a DJ's perspective, and Jeffrey wanted to do a podcast, but for whatever reason,
I had never did it.
He had never did it. So when I did one, he was my first interview. And he started his, and we, you know, we were interviewing and interviewing, and we just decided to come together. And that's, you know, how we brought about, you know, two DJs and one mic. But it was very interesting in the beginning, because we were, you know, I was interviewing DJs and I was allowing them to put together a mix. You know, it was like a first half, then we had a mix, then the second half. And it was solely about DJing, you know, questions that, you know, you hear in regards to DJing, how they felt about mixing and so forth. But it was real fun. It was fun. It was a great experience.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
And then I started my podcast, and I interviewed the most infamous or hated DJ in the Dallas area, because he preaches doing weddings 4 hours, 6 hours for $3.99. Cool. And everybody in the Metroplex. Everybody in the Metroplex. Ooh. Thinks he's the, and his DJ name is, well, should I even say that?
It's all good.
But they don't like him. And he was my first interview, and it just went
south,
viral. I mean, it went crazy. Mm-hmm. And my intention was to let him tell his story and not trying to cause problem. I wanted to let him get it out there.
And it was a good interview, but
and then he attacked. No, I didn't. I just asked you questions. I didn't give an opinion. I didn't say anything. But that's how we got into it. And it, you see what it has evolved into, us going to all the DJ conferences, interviewing all kind of people, Alan Bird. Mm-hmm. And we don't just do DJs. We do planners. We do venue. Anybody who wants to come on the show and talk about something.
We talk to people, just everyday people. You know, our thing is to, we want to talk to people that's trying to make a change, or that's making a change in whatever they're doing.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that they're leaving things better than they found.
I like that. Yeah, I'm similar to you. I just wanted to be music related, wedding music related, since I'm, you know, the wedding music podcast. Yeah. So something weddings related. But it's definitely, I love the idea. And you know, one of my things is
people you could broaden your perspective to.
Yeah, absolutely. My thing is there's influential people out there. Yes, I'm thankful that some of them were on my show, but for me, I like talking to the little guys, because that's the majority of the people that are out there, and just getting their insights.
That's the same way we feel. I mean, well, we like to talk to anybody, and you definitely want some big fish sometimes. You want some Alan Bergs, you want some Michael Walters, whoever, you know, the big fish, Jazzy Jeff, if you're listening. You know, you want those people, but at the same time, we talked to a young guy out of Chicago last week. He might have been one of our best interviews ever. He gave it to you straight, no chaser, dropped some stuff that was, you know, he talked about how DJs, vinyl DJs, don't like the new age DJs, and everybody should just come together, and whatever equipment works for you, that's what works. And he just had some great points. He was a really, really good interview. So it's not the superstars or the people that's, you know, doing things. It's the little bitty fish out there that are doing big stuff and saying things.
I totally agree with that. Just one final point that, you know, I'm old enough now that I'll tell you anything. That why does there need to be secrets, especially in the DJ industry? Why aren't we working more together? Why do DJs hate each other? Just a bad light.
It's not hate. It's fear of being replacement. It's not. You don't hate anybody. You just don't want anybody to replace you.
But that's you speaking from your perspective. I think that some people do hate. I think, and based on their actions and how they act, I cannot call it anything other than that. Even when we were talking the other morning, when some people get on and honestly ask the question that they need an answer for, and how they're just bashed and talked down on, that's hate. That's not fear of knocking them off of their rocker. That's hate.
And
I think for some people it is fear, but there's hate, fear, stupidity. There's just a long list of words.
Needs to be kindness. That's all.
Modest is not one of them.
Yeah.
But it's true. But I'm with you too, and I think that's why we do everything we do, because we want everybody to, you know, work together. I remember when I was coming up, sometimes it's hard to find the music because people would cover up their records. But I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to. I mean, why? And then like now, I remember when I got to Dallas, or when I first started getting into the wedding side of things away from the clubs, I asked the DJ, what do you think I should put my advertising dollars, wedding wire or not, you know, Facebook, put it everywhere. And that's all he said. And I'm like, what kind of answer is that, man? You know, you could give me the same playlist and I'm not going to do what you do. I give you the same playlist and you're not going to do what I do. So why even say that? You know, help some. If you make the industry better, that means we all rise. But if you keep holding being the gatekeeper, you know, nobody's going through the gate. And pretty soon everybody's going to be coming back out the gate because you're in there by yourself.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's 100%. Go ahead, Miguel.
I don't know.
I had a question up that you just took down.
Sure. What do I love about the wedding industry? Something like that.
Yeah. What is it that you love about the wedding industry?
Oh, there you go. Go ahead. I don't know. Okay, just the joy that can come out of a wedding, I think. That's what excites me, that, you know, we made somebody's wedding, you know, something that's memorable.
So do you find yourself still being touched every time you do a wedding or see a wedding? I know he doesn't do weddings, but when he sees certain things or get reports back from DJs, do that still just, you know, just make you all soft inside?
So it's funny you asked that question. So the very first question I ask on every single one of my podcasts is tell me a heartwarming or memorable wedding moment. So yeah, I still get goosebumps. Yeah, for sure.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, well, we have to ask this. What is something that we could do without in the wedding industry, in your opinion?
Something that we could do without.
If you could do a Thanos and snap your fingers, what would this be?
It amazes me how many DJs still play boring music during cocktail hour and dinner. I would snap my fingers and get rid of that.
Okay. And man, that is a great discussion. Why? I mean, Sam, what is it about that makes you look at it in a different perspective?
Because back in the 90s, we were playing the Kenny G's. We could put on John Coltrane. We could put on, you know, jazz music and be fine with it, and everything's good. Times have changed. Couples want to have fun. And you know what? If you're boring your guests, they're leaving after dinner. They're not sticking around for the dancing.
And now, do you feel like things have been dummied down for, you know, it could be a bad word, but things are just not different, and is that the fault of the DJs?
I would say, so that's a tough question. So I'm glad my nephew's never going to watch this, but my nephew's now wife, she is a trained classical pianist. So, of course, during cocktail hour and dinner, they played classical music because she's so I think some onus has to go on the DJs to say, hey, maybe you could do that, but maybe, you know, we could take that in a different direction. So some of that is on the DJs to say, but I'm not saying the DJs are going to be able to change the couple's minds.
I mean, it's different everywhere you go. So I've done weddings in Mississippi, Louisiana, and it's definitely different than it is in Texas. And some brides want it mellow or kind of smoothed out. Some brides want you to go in. So I just say, ask your bride how she wants it. And I always tell them, I'm going to play music that's not going to make you get up and dance, but it's not going to put you to sleep either. So that's how I try to shape mine. It's up-tempo a little bit, but it's not like, you know, lullaby music or elevated music where I feel like I want to scratch the wall.
And for me, it's a buildup. Yep. I treat it like a roller coaster. You know, we're here and I'm cranking. By time when they just release everybody to the dance floor, you're already just primed. So that's something that I typically do. But I do like when it's that high energy where, you know, just everything is just moving.
Yep.
That caters more to my personality and it gives me more out of it because I don't like the slow and just, you know, I want to have fun. I want to just crank.
Yep. I don't want to start at the bottom of the crank. I want to be in the middle where I'm playing fun Motown or yacht rock or, you know, whatever that mid-tempo is that is not danceable, but still great music.
Sing-alongs, good stuff, yep. People know. And, you know, you get a motivated heads bobbing, feet tapping, you know. Yep. Yeah, that's what I try to do, too, try to keep them like that. I don't want to, oh, somebody nodding off over there because we're playing some, you know, another love song. But sometimes people give you very strict playlists that you...
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, handcuffed. You're handcuffed. And
I've been tied to a
tree. There was a question I was going to ask you about your books in the wedding industry. Do you find that more younger DJs get to you about your book, or is it what is the trend? Younger, older DJs that come to you for your books or ask you questions? What are you dealing with mostly?
All over the place. I've done young and old, and I've done multi-ops that bought the books for their DJs. So yeah, it's been all over the place.
That's pretty cool. Cause I was thinking it would be great for a young DJ coming into the industry that doesn't know country, doesn't know decades. Okay. Yep. I can refer to this and have, you know, 10 or 15 bangers in every category.
Yep.
And that's a great tool. So yeah. I was just wondering if it was younger DJs or if it was older.
Yep, both. And it's funny, one of the DJs I was talking to, he had a DJ and they were talking about Hall & Oates and the DJ didn't know who they were. So he's, I bought the book for him.
That's horrible. Yeah, you got him. That's history right there.
But everybody ain't big on history.
Yeah, and a lot of them just come in. Okay, I started in 2018, and that's where my library goes back to.
They just keep moving forward.
Yeah. You figure now we're in 2024. That's after, you know, you figure after the peak of Michael Jackson, even. They might not even know Michael Jackson.
Wow.
You're right. And another question, too, I want to ask, how do you keep up? Or do you limit what you deal with? Because, I mean, like you said, you're planning on starting getting into the hip-hop side. And it comes fast and furious. So does, like, Taylor just dropped 31 songs.
Yeah.
Have you listened to those to see if there's anything you can add to a wedding yet?
So for me, I listen to all of the songs. And Taylor Swift's a great example. Even I'll go with Ed Sheeran's last album, too, where I'm listening to all of them. And any Taylor Swift fan, you could probably play any of them. But for me, I don't think there's really a great wedding song, but that's when I'm going to be looking at the charts to say which ones are really peaking out of that. And the same, you know, I think of Magical from Ed Sheeran's last album. That's a great love song, slow song, never hear about it. So,
yeah, there's one too by an artist. He's a gospel artist, but it's called Her, and it's by Isaac Carey.
Isaac Yeah.
You know that song too.
It's on my list.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, but how many people actually know it besides me and you?
Yeah.
Does the modest one know about it?
It's possible.
See, I never answers the question.
Probably not. But then that's
he doesn't have the book. He's not on the mailing list. He's not a subscriber.
Right. You know, that's one of those songs that'll probably be on there for, let's say, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then eventually, okay, it'll drop off.
But it's a great song. I did have a bride requested a couple weeks ago that we played it for some. So I was like, and my wife heard it the first time because she listens to gospel music 90% of the time. And she was like, yep,
go ahead. So how big is your database as of today?
It's varied through time because of all of the Google updates and whatnot. I'm not going to get into all of those, but right now it's over 500 song lists on the site. So out of those, I consider 50 that are tried and true, 50 to 60 that are tried and true, that get updated probably at least once a year.
Wow. You need a team, Matt.
I need a theme?
A team.
Oh, a team, yes.
Or some people to bounce stuff off of.
I'm pretty sure he has some to bounce.
Do you bounce your ideas off some? Well, you said you send them to your friend.
Yep. Yeah. And now I'm going to be bouncing it off of you guys.
So. Yeah, we know. Yeah.
Okay. Not a problem.
Another hat that we're going to have to put on over here.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
So are you looking to expand?
Not at this time. No. Just trying to figure out, you know, just like you guys, the first time I met you, your concept was at MEX. I'm 100% behind what you guys are doing, and I'm hoping that you explode as a business person and as a business model. I think it's fantastic what you guys are doing, something different, and I hope you guys explode for that. So that's what I'm trying to figure out as far as my business goes, you know, just trying to figure out revenue streams and trying to figure out how I can benefit the readers the most. So, you know, our newsletter that goes out once a week, just trying to figure out how are we going to grow that? How are we going to market it? Same, just like as running a DJ company, just trying to figure out what's going to work.
Yeah.
So do some things work better than others, or are you just still trying, or have you found something that you think gets everybody's eyeballs? Or
for me, I like, so if I'm going to do any paid advertising, the one thing that I'm going to do is Facebook, just because I can target DJ specifically. I can target wedding planners specifically. I can target engaged couples. So just the targeting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer.
And they've taken away a lot of what you used to could do. Yep. It was very honed in, but no, that's a good method.
Yeah. Trying to grow that base that way anyway. For sure.
So you're trying to grow it, but no, what I was really asking was, what do you think, what's working, you know, what gets people to open it or look at it or read it or gets feedback to you? That's what I was, have you found out something that's making us open them and read them, or is there a catchy line at the top, or are you still working on your formula to make the DJs open it and read it?
Boy, for anybody looking at your stats, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And then, yes, the song list, looking back, that's when I started noticing that most of the song suggestions are the ones that are getting the most opens and the most reads. And so that's why I'm now targeting the 90s and 2000 songs, just because the music, that's what gets opened.
Now, please take this into consideration. I haven't had the opportunity to read one of the newsletters, but I will promise you that I will subscribe, and I'm eager to see what you have on there. So this next question is me not knowing.
It's good.
So when you're talking about these lists, are you giving any information outside of the list, like explaining why this list is you know, a number one list or this song, you know, what happens when you play this song and so forth? Are you given any information like that?
It depends on the list. So it depends on the size of the list too. That's a great question. I just am trying to pick, for an example, the 90s hip hop. I'm just trying to pick great songs that are trending now that I know that are great party songs. So, and as an example, Regulate by Warren G is one of my favorite songs, mm-hmm. but it's a little slower tempo. Yeah. And I don't know if that's really going to be a great party hit. So
it just depends, man. It depends on, you know, the conversation that we was having before we came on. Mm-hmm. That you were asking about, it just depends on the crowd, where they're mm-hmm. from, and the age.
California,
Well, I'm just saying, even if you find people around our age, and you know, around it's our good. Age, it's a good song.
Old.
I'm not old.
Here's a comment for you, Matt, about the get rid of the boring stuff. Since you said that, I did a wedding a few years ago, started with upbeat music. They came and told me to slow it down.
Wow.
So, like I say, it varies by every
bride. It depends on who you're dealing with, really.
It does. Yeah. So, I'm with you too, but I try not to go, you know, I'm not going to go right into Beat It or something, you know, or Shut Up and Dance.
I have a question.
Or Get Low. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question for you in regards to that. I think some of it may depend on your consultations too, with when you're talking with your bride. You know, brides and grooms, you know, them getting to know you and how you do things and trusting that, hey, I can let him just loose and him or her, let them loose and they're going to do everything that's needed to bring about, you know, success at the end of the night. Sure. Because I think some of it is based on that. If there's not a open line of communication as far as who you are, that could create some of that. And I know for myself, one of the things that I try to establish is, will you allow me to do what I know that's necessary based on what's going on, or will I be tied to this list?
Yeah. And this is interesting too. I think the venue has something to do with that as well. Whereas what we're talking about, the upbeat, yacht rock or whatever that is, if you're in the Ritz-Carlton, maybe that doesn't really fit the vibe too. So I think the overall...
I don't know, because up-tempo people rent the Ritz-Carlton too.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's really, Mike is right. It's more on the couple and what they want. Because I've done weddings and, you know, people like, oh, man, speed it up. You know, I have had people, come on, man, play something, you know. But, again, it's the couple and what they tell you to do.
Sure.
Yeah, I can look out there. Ain't nobody moving. Everybody looking at me like I got a third eye. But I can't change it if it's not okay with my couple. I can go ask them. Yeah. But it's all dictated by them, 90% of the guys. And I asked Jay Free or James to let us know, was it the bride? Or was it the guest that said slow it down? Because that would be interesting too. But it just varies, you know. You're always getting that. Stop being boring or stop doing this. You know, if you're playing something slow, you get that a lot too. When are we gonna pick it up?
I think something
at your wedding.
I think something that we don't really touch on is when you're talking about reading a crowd, the psychology of that. We really don't touch on the psychology of reading a crowd and how music and that crowd ties together.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, what to play, when to play it, and how to play it based on what you're seeing. Some of us just think that, hey, I can play Lil Jon at any given time, it's going to do this. And we don't really know how to connect the dots. You may play a song and see someone or a table responded in a certain way, and you may be reading the lips of their conversation and or whatever the situation, and you know that this song over here is going to be that one for this table. And I think that's something that we really should touch on more, the psychology of it. I know I shared a lot.
Yeah, that's deep right there, because I think, I'm sure we all process it the same way or get our information or gather our information in some kind of way, but it's just, everybody does it a little differently, but you still got to know, you know, read the room and pick out stuff and know where you're going. But we're going to dive into that on another show.
Yeah, I actually wrote an article about that exact same thing that was pretty popular, how to read a room to play music that resonates.
Send it to me and Mike at the end of the show. Send it to me. Okay. Yeah, I want to read that.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, that's interesting. But to me, see, mine, you do it by looking at tables. I'm thinking three or four.
I look at it all too,
but I'm saying I do it that wise, and I'm already trying to say where I can go two or three mm-hmm. songs ahead, where I want to get to, and what is it going to take me to get there with what's going on in front of me.
Oh, yeah. It's a deep psychology. It's a connect. For me, yeah. I'm connecting dots. Right,
yeah, you're painting a picture. Okay, no, I need more blue here. More blue. Mm-hmm. Green. So it's just a lot. Yeah. Okay, he said it was the bride.
And it also, Kevin Pitts, and it's also about the relationship you have with the bride and groom. Do they trust you to create their dream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's again back to that communication.
Yeah, and then James said, "Yes, the bride." Wow, but some of them do that because have you ever heard of the thing about the dance floor shouldn't be touched until the bride hits it or until they have their dance?
Yep, I've heard that a lot.
So I was doing a wedding maybe a couple years ago, I think.
Interesting.
And it was in November. I remember it clearly too. So I'm just playing music and the bride's grandmother and other people got out and started two-stepping. Man, the daddy ran over there to me so fast and said, "Hey, turn that off right now," because the bride has not graced the dance floor. They hadn't done their first dance when they come in. We were having dinner and I was just playing, you know, country hits. I mean, not really, you know, top dance tracks, just some good country. Man, they got up. He said, "Tell them to sit down now." So you get a, that's why I said,
you know what that tells me?
What?
Communication.
Yeah, but
there's some more.
But how was I supposed to know that? No,
you wasn't supposed to know that. But what I'm saying is, from that situation, that should prompt us to do something or ask some question more questions. Hey, how do you feel about you gracing the dance floor?
So, and then I'll tell you, I did a wedding in New Orleans. So they come in the door from a second line and, you know, it's just loosey goosey down there. There's no order, no nothing. So they announce everybody's eating. I don't know if they did that for whatever the case may be. So my wife is playing crooners. They dancing. They already up going, you know, not really dance tracks or just some, mm-hmm. you know, and they already on the floor. So I'm like, man, we might have to start the party early. But nobody ran up to me and say, "Hey, cut that off because we don't want them dancing here." They ready to go when they walk in the door. So like every area is different. You know, you go home. I did a wedding in Oxford and the bride was kind of mad with me because I was too boring, like you said. I was trying, you know, because I was used to the Texas thing because they're out here. It's not, I won't say boring, but, you know, kind of that don't grace the dance floor. So that is a good question to ask to your thing. How do you feel about people dancing during cocktail hour?
Yep.
Yeah. So don't be boring, but just make sure if you are not boring that you should be bored. But don't confuse yourself because
it can't be confusing. Stop while you're here.
The stress of the DJ.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mr. Matt, tell them where they can find you out and tell them everything you got going on and what you offer and
sure.
Where's the next show you're going to be at? Where are we going to see you at next? And
I'm all right. So let me start with the shows. You can see us in person. The better half and I, we will be at DJX in August. And because we're in Las Vegas, we are always at the Wedding MBA. So we're there.
We won't see you in Chi-Town this year.
You're not going to see me in Chi-Town this year. No.
What?
Okay.
No Midwest shows this year for us.
Okay. All right. But DJX, definitely.
Definitely. Yep.
You don't need any staff.
I will let you know. As of right now, No. It will, it depends on if the wife can get off. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, let us know.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. I haven't made up my mind yet. I found that show to be really interesting. It has some great education. But like I say, the showroom is phenomenal.
Yes,
it is,
for sure.
It is huge. It's phenomenal. And yeah, go ahead.
Please,
best show floor.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep. So
the unmodest one talks too much.
I'm going to mention three brands just because people remember in threes. So our website is myweddingsongs.com. Over 500 playlists. You can check everything out that we're doing there. Song suggestions, all the books, everything that's there. The other brand is the Wedding Songs Podcast. That's a weekly podcast that I'm interviewing, kind of like what we're doing here, just talking about wedding music and you know, what's going on in wedding trends, I guess. And then the other one is our wedding music letter. That's a weekly newsletter that goes out every Wednesday. It's going out tomorrow, every Wednesday. And that's just song suggestions and industry insights, guides, everything. You know, everything that you want. And the one cool thing is paid subscribe. So there is a paid version and a free version. Paid version.
You said weekly newsletter. And what's the name of the weekly newsletter?
Wedding music letter.
Okay. Wedding and music letter.
Okay. And yep. What was the difference with the paid and free?
The paid, you just get more information. So like, as an example, I might send out the 90s hip hop, where the free version may get 5 suggestions, and then the paid version, you're going to get all 30 whatever plus songs, plus a link to the Spotify playlist. And you're going to get a free, it's on this side, free copy of the Wedding Music Toolkit via PDF too.
Have I received that yet?
I sent it out via email.
Okay, I need to check my emails.
Please do.
You may have to resend it to me because
yep.
I might have had my delete button going that day.
Okay.
But I'll double check. It might be in there somewhere.
If not, just I can shoot you a link.
And also, the other one is the weekly newsletter, Wedding and Music Letter, goes out every Wednesday.
Yep. Yep.
And how much are subscriptions, Matt?
$7 a month or $70 a year.
Man, they went up since I signed up.
They have gone. They it started at 5, and then for about 2 months I went to 9, and then I went down to 7.
Okay, because I got in at 5.
Found that perfect niche.
Yeah.
Or that perfect price point, rather.
Yep. Exactly.
So, where can they find you on social media?
Typically, My Wedding Songs. Those are the Facebook and the Instagram and the Pinterest. Those are probably the three main ones that I use. I'm on other ones, but you know, if you're a DJ and you have your business based on Instagram or TikTok, just realize that's rented space.
Yeah, especially TikTok. It could be going away anytime soon.
Yep.
Or they're going to change it or do something to it because that it passed today.
Oh, it did, huh?
Waiting on Joe to sign it.
Wow. Yeah. So then that's going
to
happen.
If they don't sell TikTok to someone else, they're going to close it down. Got to stay abreast of those things, too.
Yeah, I did read that TikTok was ready to sell if they needed to be. So
they're going to sell. The only thing with me is, even if they do, how much of it are we sure it's going to change? Will they not still be collecting data or sending data anyway? So how we know the person who's in control, okay, I'll make the money all off TikTok, but I also make the money selling the data. So you never know, because what's his name lies to us every time he goes to Congress. And they say, you know, he's selling the data. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm not.
Who am I talking about?
I don't.
Zuckerberg.
Oh, yes.
He's terrible. He is the worst. He's trying to become the first trillionaire.
Yeah.
I'm all about the Benjamins, baby.
Yeah.
That's another one of those great hip hop songs that we'll add to the list. But
that is.
Well, keep us posted, man. And we'll keep in contact. We enjoy you coming on. We're glad you came on the show. Can't wait till you drop that episode of that special guest you had on a few weeks ago. Whoever that may be.
I do believe that's going to be May. It's going to, I think the third Thursday in May.
Okay.
I just started editing it this morning.
Okay. All right.
So I hear you're going to have KC on this week.
I'm recording this week. Yep. He's probably going to bump somebody else just because I want to make sure his episode broadcast before. Hey,
can I tell you something? That's a good idea.
I can't wait to see it.
Because he is definitely like an elephant. He will not let you forget.
I have prepped him some questions, so I'm ready.
Oh my gosh! Yes, we didn't interview him in Vegas, and it was an accident. He won't let us live it down.
Oh man! Hey, it will not die.
It is.
It's like the bubonic plague.
It just keeps coming back. It rolls around every time. I'm surprised he ain't commenting right now about us not interviewing him. But, yeah. Man, thank you again. Ever since I met you in Vegas, I think I bought the book the first time I met you in Vegas at the NBA. And I met your wife because y'all had that table over there on the side and y'all was selling the service about reviewing people's websites, also looking at people. Do y'all still do that too?
No.
Okay. All right. See, I'm going back. I remember.
That was a little while ago.
Yeah, I remember the first time I met y'all. I think I signed up with your wife for her to look at my website.
Wow.
Which was garbage at the time. Yeah. It has been since.
I actually do work with Brian Lawrence and as an SEO consultant. So.
Okay. All right.
Great.
All right.
We have one last question.
DJX, but go ahead.
What? Go ahead.
I'm just going to keep saying that. DJX.
Okay.
DJX. DJX.
What is a gem
that you would like to share with us in our audience?
About what?
Hey, whatever you want to do.
Something you live by, something you swear by.
Boy.
I love that question, because people are trying to be all thinking deep. I think very deeply.
Jim. All right. So are you ready? I actually have this on my website.
Uh-oh.
So my Jim is music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything.
I like
that. Wow.
That's deep.
That's him right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of his philosophies.
Yeah, that's deep. I like that.
Actually, so one year I gave out, maybe you guys were there at Wedding MBA, I gave out pint glasses with that saying on it in my logo.
Pint glasses.
Oh, yeah. Beer glass. Well, beer glasses, soda glasses, whatever.
It's okay. Hey, yeah.
Drink on.
Drink on.
And be there.
Never going to do that again. They don't tell you the weight and anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but you were at Wedding MBA, so it was like in your neighborhood, all right?
Yeah, but it's union, so I had to pay.
Oh, man, you don't have to tell us. Oh, my God. That's.
Took a trip down Union Boulevard.
Oh, my God. Man, I still feel the effects of what happened to us in Vegas.
Mob therapy.
And they don't even tell you it's coming. They just.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you there, so you know. So, you know, tables, chairs, $200, you know.
We carry everything through the front door.
Yeah, that's what we ended up doing too. I mean, well, it was what's his name?
Ken.
Kool-Aid or Ken.
Ken.
You know him?
Oh, Ken Heath.
Big guy?
Yep, yeah. Ken Heath.
Yeah. Man, he was so nice. He went home, brought us tables and chairs, linen, everything. And we tried to pay him. He wanted to fight us for trying to give him some money for taking care of us.
That's awesome.
So big shout out to him. We got to make sure we get him a gift card to take him to dinner or something next year.
Kool-Aid.
Hey, Kool-Aid. But all right, good sir. We thank you again for jumping on with us. And we look forward to all the endeavors that we know are coming up with you, because we know you're doing great things for the industry. Another brother making the industry better, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And thank you guys. And like I said, just wishing you guys nothing but success. So thank keep you, up sir. The good work.
Thank all you. Right. All right. Thank you. You enjoy the rest of your evening. right, I'm still adjusting to the time in Vegas. I'm still not right.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Righty.